As Utah has seen a recent uptick in COVID-19 cases while in the yellow phase, the question becomes, why? What are we overlooking? What are our blind spots? We sat down with Ogden Clinic ear, nose, and throat specialist Dr. Nadine Bakazi to review prevention and talk about the future of COVID-19 in Utah. Welcome to The Daily Diagnosis, a healthy lifestyle podcast provided by Ogden Clinic. We're your prescription for health-centered conversation, stories, and advice. I'm Parker Shaw, and with the help of my team and featuring the talented providers of Ogden Clinic, you'll reach a positive prognosis for your podcast addiction by listening to The Daily Diagnosis. Hi, everybody. Welcome to this weekly update. This is Parker from Ogden Clinic's marketing team, and we're back with Dr. Nadine Bakazi, who is one of Ogden Clinic's ear, nose, and throat specialists. Dr. Bakazi, it's good to see you today.
Good to see you, Parker.
Well, it's been a little while since we've talked, and a lot has happened and transpired in the weeks that have passed since our last conversation. And we've kind of seen a lot of influx with relation to the numbers of cases and deaths and everything that's happened with coronavirus. And since we're kind of entering a different phase that some might be alarming to some, we thought it would be effective to talk about this again and kind of have a conversation about what our current position is with the coronavirus here in Utah. So I was wondering if we could just kind of open the conversation a little bit with that, leading with that question. We've seen an increase of numbers, and what would you kind of say towards that position that we're in currently?
Yeah, so, you know, there's a real disparity in the states right now, Parker. You're seeing some of the states that were harder hit, like New York and New Jersey, their numbers have dropped off. And that was expected, as there is a much more virulent virus that rolled through and caused more hospitalizations and deaths. You expected those numbers to really drop off. For us here in Utah, we've actually seen an increase in the last 2 weeks. I went back and looked at the numbers, and we've really jumped up to between 200 to 300 cases per day, which for us is really a little bit of a spike. It's, you know, our hospitalizations still remain low. We continue to have very good outcomes for those that are in the hospital. Our overall death rate has creeped up. We used to be averaging in the 20 range per million in terms of deaths. Now we're in about the mid to high 40s. And so we are seeing a little bit of an uptick. That's a little bit surprising to me. I thought the summer months would see a little bit of a flattening or even a downtick. So that is surprising to a lot of people. We have to be cautious. And I think that's remained our alert statewide, which is kind of a medium risk category. We want to maintain social distancing. We want to maintain masks. All of those things are helpful in mitigating the spread.
Right.
I think the real concern is what's coming up in the fall and the winter. That's where everyone's looking forward to say, are we really going to see a bump? I believe we're prepared nationally with the number of ventilators and PPEs out there. I think that people will be protected. I also believe there will be a vaccine sometime in the late fall that will at least the preliminary stages will come out and maybe even some forms of treatment. So I think when this next wave rolls through, if there really is a spike, I think we as a nation will be better prepared.
Yeah, and I think so. I think these months have been really telling of what the future of how we're going to fight this kind of looks like. And I think we've been gaining experience and trying to prepare as best as we can. But I also wonder, the way that things are looking, is this spike because we've been closed and have opened? Are we not? Do you think that this is due to us being too careless with our mask? What would you say to that?
So I think it's a little bit of a combination of everything. I think it was smart to keep us in the yellow range because we didn't know what was coming once you open things up. I have seen a lot of people wearing masks, which is great. I do think that there have been more congregations of people. I've noticed when you look at the traffic outside and maybe some just gatherings in places like supermarkets, you'll see more people are out and about. And that's expected that you're going to see higher numbers. As we mentioned before, Parker, this is a contagious virus. And by saying that, it's going to be prevalent in places where people congregate. I think also the question has come up, I think you may have raised it, about asymptomatic patients and what risk do they pose? Because now as we're getting more and more testing done, we're finding out a large number of people are asymptomatic. Initially, we thought that those asymptomatic patients really didn't have a high risk of spreading the virus because they're not really sick. So they're not coughing. They're not sneezing. They're not doing the things that help propel the virus. But having said that, I think people are revisiting maybe some of the spread among asymptomatic patients. So that's something to be a little bit aware about. I think testing is really doing a good job at identifying larger and larger numbers. So I think when we see 200 to 300 cases a day, that's probably the number we were having several weeks ago. We just didn't know about it. So I think the answer is to all of those questions, a little bit of all of them. Loosening up with the restrictions. People are getting a little bit more careless with distancing because they see that it hasn't really reached a crisis level. And then finally, the asymptomatic cases that we're finally testing are coming through.
Right. Well, those are some great points that you brought up. Thanks for that. So I just wanted to clear this up just a little bit, or just maybe go into this in a little bit more depth. We talked about how our hospital numbers are staying good and, you know, the mortality has changed a little bit. Do you think that will continue to be the trend? Or I don't know, that's maybe more opinion-based question, but I think people wonder that. Like, are we going to see a lot more higher cases, but maybe it's not as severe of a strain here in Utah, do you think?
Yeah, I think that's the case. I think when you compare it to New York, they have fundamentally a different virus out there. Talked to Mike Hall, as you know, who got back from New York, and they believe their virus came from Europe, from that Italian strain that was much more virulent. You look at the mortality rates among New Yorkers, they have about 1,100 cases per million death. We only have 45 to 50. So there's a factor of about 20 to 25 difference, meaning if you get hit with the virus, you're 25 times more likely to die of the virus in New York. Now, that's not stratified among all risk groups. Those are just general numbers. But I think most people speculate that the virus in New York is a lot more severe than what we're seeing out here in Utah. The other thing about hospitalizations here in Utah, we're nowhere near maximizing the hospital bed. So it's never even come close to maximizing our resources. So I think that we have room, if that, unfortunately, if the case ever needs it, we do have room in our hospitals, and we are prepared for that if there's another wave to come through.
Awesome. Well, thank you for talking about that a little bit more. So I wanted to move on and talk a little bit about how we are living currently in the yellow phase, as you know. And, you know, we talked about burnout a little bit, and I think everybody feels that a little bit after months and months and months of talking about COVID-19, coronavirus, and even just like being isolated and then being reintroduced into society a little bit and then feeling that need to maybe step back or step forward. It's kind of like an unknown. And I know a lot of people are tired with all that's been going on. You mentioned wearing a face mask safely. And I think that's something that a lot of people are maybe kind of bored of. And I don't want to say that, but it can be a hard thing. And it's not something that we like to do. How would you describe wearing a face mask safely? And why do you say that's important still as we're living in the yellow phase?
Yeah, it's a great question. So one of the main factors to review that can really minimize the spread are wearing face masks and really putting it on people that may be asymptomatic or mildly symptomatic. Wearing a face mask prevents the spread from them coughing out. I brought a couple of examples. We have a basic face mask here, which is the ones you routinely see. These are not the N95 ones. These, when you put them on, you can breathe around the edges, and therefore, they're not completely protective to the people wearing them. But I don't want to minimize the fact that they prevent the person coughing and sneezing. They're actually protective to everyone else. Also, bandanas and other cloth material function the same way. They act as barriers. And that's going to really be important in the wintertime when we become maybe susceptible to other viruses. We want to keep wearing these face masks, especially in public settings. Very important. One of the big mistakes I see, and I want to very much counsel people, is once you put a face mask on, you don't want to be touching your mask and rearranging it and then touching other things in the grocery store. Because ostensibly, your mask contains particles you've coughed on, and if you're touching them and then touching doorknobs and other things in grocery stores, you possibly are taking the stuff on your mask and contaminating other things. So my recommendation is put the mask on in the car, use a hand sanitizer, and really don't touch the mask again. If you do, you really want to go back and use a hand sanitizer, keep it in your bag or in your pocket. That's really important. And then I brought a second type of face mask called the N95. This is really meant for those that are much more higher risk, for people that we talked about with comorbidities like diabetes, high blood pressure, heart disease. If they're going to be in public settings, they really want to be wearing a more significant restriction mask. An N95 restricts 95% of the air particles, and it has to be used with both bands. And the problem with this mask is you can't keep it on for very long without it feeling very claustrophobic. because it's very restricted in your ability to breathe around it, you can't maintain this for hours and hours. So really it's meant for doctors who are doing procedures on patients, or if you're going to be in a hospital setting, that's really the role for this mask. I see some people wearing this mask in the grocery store. It's really not going to be tolerated. If you loosen it up on the edges to get more breathing, you've taken away the ability of the mask to do its filtration. So I don't want people to be under the false premise that they can wear these and be completely protected. So this is an N95. I would say if you're have the comorbidities or older and you're taking an airplane flight, you may want to consider getting this for the airplane flight. It's going to be more protective. But again, once you put it on, don't touch the mask and start touching things, because now you're just taking anything that's on the mask and spreading that to other people. Hopefully you heard all that.
It was actually a lot more clear than I thought. And, you know, wearing the mask, I've been, you know, when we're running errands, sometimes I'll have mine on. And it is sometimes harder to hear, but no, it was great. No worries there. Well, kind of, you hit on asymptomatic cases and the importance of, you know, knowing that people that aren't showing symptoms are still contagious. And, you know, just a little bit earlier last week, that was something that was kind of misinterpretation of a statement that went around about that. And I know we kind of talked about this a little bit, but what would you say just to clear the air on asymptomatic people?
Yeah, so a lot of studies have shown that younger patients tend to be higher percentages of them are asymptomatic. And we want to be cognizant that with our younger group, meaning people that are under the age of 30, that they can be carrying the virus, not having a fever, and it can be kind of in the back of their nose. And just by coughing or speaking, they could possibly spread it. We want to be very careful with our grandparents, with our parents that are older and have comorbidities, to make sure that we maintain the mask. They've done studies out of Asia, and one of the reasons Asians or the numbers of cases have really dropped among their population is they tend to be very, very vigilant about wearing masks in public places. So we don't want maybe a sense of complacency or fatigue to settle in, because we're not used to wearing masks in this. And I think maintaining masks in big public gatherings, parties, other things you may go to is really going to significantly reduce the spread, as long as you're not fiddling with a mask. I think that's really significant.
Awesome. Well, thank you for that reiteration. Just kind of moving towards the end, we've kind of covered all that I had planned talking about today. Are there any other points that you'd like to cover before we finish up today?
Yeah, I think the main point is to understand this is going to be like the flu virus and then a little bit more. I don't want people overly concerned. The mortality with the flu virus is 0.1%. Tends to affect the people who are the most immunocompromised and risk, as we know. The CDC is announcing that the coronavirus is really a range of about 0.3 to 0.4%. So it tends to have a higher mortality than the flu, but I don't want people to be unreasonable about that. Protect our grandparents, protect people who are affected in nursing homes that are susceptible. And the rest of us, just be careful around big public groups. And I think we're going to see the winter go by here. We're going to probably have a bump in cases, hopefully not anything near that overwhelms the system. I don't think that'll be the case. And I think that by next spring, when this kind of rolls through, these pandemic viruses run about 1 to 2 years. That's usually their duration when you look in history. So I think we're dealing with really for a full year from April to April. We have to get through this next winter, but I think we're going to be just fine. And I think this nation is much better prepared for what's coming up than we were, let's say, a couple months ago.
Right. Well, and I think, you know, as we see how this virus acts through the seasons, we'll just continue to keep fighting and keep going for it. So thank you so much for meeting with us today. And thank you for all that you shared with regards to where we are currently and for this short update. We really appreciate you for your time. For those of you that have tuned in today, this has been Dr. Nadeem Bakazi. He's one of our ear, nose, and throat specialists here at Ogden Clinic. You can find more information about Dr. Bakazi or other providers at ogdenclinic.com. Thanks for tuning in, and we hope you guys have a great day. Thanks for tuning into this week's episode of The Daily Diagnosis. We're so happy that you joined us today. If you would like to find more information about Ogden Clinic, our providers, or locations, visit us at ogdenclinic.com. If you're listening today from Apple Podcast app, make sure you leave us a review or subscribe so you can receive more information about the different episodes that we post. We love getting feedback from our audience, so Those reviews are priceless to us. If you also would like to shout us out on social media, our Instagram handle is at Ogden Clinic. You can also send us a DM if there's a topic that you would like our providers to cover, and we really look forward to hearing from you. We post episodes weekly, so tune in next week, and we can't wait to be with you again. Have a great week.